Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we've got actual good news in our good martini. Sometimes it's a little bit of a stretch, but we have a new survey from the Pew Center, which shows that for the first time since they've been conducting this survey, which goes back to at least the spring of 1995, a majority of Americans now views government as a threat to personal rights. 53% say yes, 43% say no, 4%, of course, don't know. And but that's even a stronger percentage than right at the height of the Tea Party movement, March of 2010, 47% said yes, 50% no. Great news that Americans are seeing more and more that the government is infringing on their liberties. The only question is why they don't seem to reflect that in their voting.
It is not November anymore. And a couple of interesting kind of, you look at this particular poll result, coupled with the fact that Quinnipiac had Obama right back to the high 40s in job approval again. He enjoyed a bit of a bounce after the election and up through inauguration. You know, usually a president who wins re-election gets kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling from the electorate for a while. But you could argue that the second honeymoon is over. What's happened since then? We've seen the payroll tax expire and taxes go up on most Americans. We've seen more coverage of how Obamacare is now kicking into effect. And lo and behold, premiums are going up. And, there's that report that said 7 million people will end up losing their coverage because their employers will prefer to pay the fine rather than pay for the coverage of their employees. Throw in the effort to gun control. And I think that's probably where one of the biggest changes between now and in November. Obama rather obliquely referred to the assault weapons ban in one of the debates, but not really want to talk about guns on the campaign trail. And now we see this. I think you can say the immigration debate. This was not a president who was running on a broad-based amnesty or certainly saying it that way. The discussion of immigration was on the DREAM Act and how, all these valedictorians were going to be deported and they're really good kids and why are we sending those back? Add all of that up with the really liberal inaugural address, and all of a sudden it's a very different Barack Obama than what was being presented to the public in a re-election year. The Barack Obama of 2013, and maybe several giant steps to the left of the guy who was insisting he was a moderate in 2012. And here we are. For Barack Obama, it's going to always be November 2012. He's always going to behave as if he's at the apex, at a cresting wave of popularity. It'll be interesting to see if Congress sees it that way, both the red state Democrats and the Republicans, and also kind of whether anybody else in Washington likes to kind of promulgate this mentality that Obama's on top of the world and the world is his oyster. He has all this enormous political capital because the polling numbers are starting to indicate, no, Mr. President, some of this was an illusory feel-good vibe from just winning re-election.
Total of 31% in January of 2012 saw government as a major threat to those rights, composed of 53% who agreed that it was a threat without the adjective. Republicans, 70% see it as a threat, 47% a major threat. Conservatives, the only ones in the majority seeing it as a major threat, 76% overall, 54% seeing it as a major threat. Democrats, 38% as a threat, 16% as a major threat. All right, on to a martini number two now, Jim. And for the second straight day in the morning jolt, you've had breaking news in all caps, although the North Korean nuclear test is a slightly different story than the Pope's resignation. They have conducted a major nuclear test. Reports suggest it's twice the size of their previous test. Some reports even suggesting that it's uranium involved this time rather than plutonium because they're trying to reserve that for actual weapons and not just the test. So there's a lot of bad things about this. Number one, of course, North Koreans seem to be more proficient in their nuclear program. Number two, 20 years of trying to talk them out of this clearly isn't working. Of course, now we've got John Kerry and possibly Chuck Hagel to deal with this for the next 4 years, perhaps. So things are looking up.
Don't you feel more confident, huh, Greg? Yeah. In both cases, both yesterday and today, the news had a bombshell. And kind of ironically, in both cases, kind of stepping on the State of the Union address. The dominant news coverage of today and tomorrow will focus on Obama's address. But really, the changing of popes is only a couple times a lifetime event. And North Korea, this is where it starts to get serious because we're kind of used to these tests as, one, these tests not working very well. for the North Koreans, and also the sense that this is always them wanting more aid, for, you know, threatening, acting like a spoiled child, throwing a tantrum. This one has succeeded. This is apparently the type of nuke that could be added to a multi-stage rocket. You may recall they tested one of those a little while ago. North Korea is definitely acting up, and it happens to be occurring at a time when we appear to be getting into a quasi-isolationist mood in which America just doesn't want to deal with these sorts of problems beyond its borders. And you add to that, you know, that China and Japan have had all kinds of territorial disputes lately. Asia is heating up. Asia is getting into be a very tense corner of the globe, and man, oh man, just feels like an ominous development. Maybe this is the world greeting that second term of Obama the way we had feared for the past 4 years.
On to martini number three now. Jim, and we knew that the mainstream media was kind of in the hip pocket of the administration on a whole variety of issues. It's not too often that the administration actually tells the media flat out during a very public event that it's expecting them to carry the water for them on a given issue. But Vice President Joe Biden, who's, you know, been a frequent guest here in the third martini, talking in Pennsylvania yesterday and saying flat out to the mainstream media, yeah, we're expecting you to pretty much do what we want you to do on this.
And to be very blunt with you, we're counting on all of you, the legitimate news media, to cover these discussions, because the truth is that times have changed. The social media that exists out there, the tragedies that have occurred, the Supreme Court decision affirming that's an individual right to bear arms, all give a lie to the argument that what we're trying to do is somehow unconstitutional.
So if you're legitimate, which I'm pretty sure means you agree with us as being defined by legitimate, you're going to peddle our message that we're not infringing whatsoever on the Second Amendment. Par for the course, I guess, kind of for Joe Biden, but that should send chills down people's spines, Jim.
Greg, does the radio show down in Miami, The Pimp with the Limp, he's legitimate media, right?
I assure.
I ask that because he got a presidential interview that aired on September 11th of 2012. The View, that's legitimate media, right? You know, Entertainment Tonight and People, they've both gotten presidential interviews in the past year. Strangely enough, not the Washington Post, even the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. Now, you know, folks, well, you know, people usually deride those newspapers as liberal media or something. But at least, you know, look, like, you know, at least they'll ask real questions. They won't ask Steve Croft softballs, so to speak. Very revealing, I think, on the part of Biden here, just to observe that, look, as far as this administration is concerned, there is legitimate media that asks the questions that they deem appropriate, and there is illegitimate media that asks questions they don't think are appropriate. And I think it'd be very interesting to see the administration list off who they think is appropriate and not appropriate, who is legitimate and not legitimate, and what their standard is for legitimate, because they have no problem that the president who pops up on ESPN to do his his March Madness picks and cooking shows and The Daily Show and Letterman, and, you know, like, the president has no problem taking his case to all kinds of different media. But if, as I suspect, their definition of illegitimate media is, you know, blogs and talk radio and Fox News and anybody who they deem excessively critical of the administration, well, you know, it's a revealing statement that that they believe that not merely is their job to do the jobs that it says in the Constitution, but their jobs as leaders of the country is to determine which voices on the public scene are legitimate and illegitimate, and I presumably to, you know, do their part to stifle the illegitimate voices and to do their part to assist and utilize the legitimate voices of media. Biden really is the id of this administration. You can always count on him to say the things that probably everybody in the administration is thinking, but just has a good sense to not speak aloud.
Jim, I'm flabbergasted and completely confused as to what category we'd be in, legitimate or illegitimate. I'm sure they would.
We're illegitimate. That's not even close, you know.
And I think we'll wear that as a badge of honor. In fact, maybe we should get T-shirts. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Wednesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.